Grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We want to welcome you to Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church. We're delighted that you're here with us as we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. As always, I have several announcements to make before we get started. The first is next Saturday, October the 30th, from 3 to 6 p.m. in the parking lot in front of the fellowship hall, we'll be having our annual fall festival. The congregation, we still need your donations of individually wrapped bags of candy through today, October 24th. I'm sure if you bring in candy tomorrow, though, we'll take it. It may not go to the kids. It may end up on my desk, but we'll make sure it gets to somebody, right? Anyone and everyone is invited to come and participate and just enjoy the good times. Anyone and everyone is invited to join. I'm doing a Bible class. The video has not gone out yet. A lot of people have asked about that. I'm having a problem with the video purveyor. It's a long story. I've got one recorded and just trying to get it to you. So I apologize for the delay on that. The Presbyterian women need a coordinator for their annual thank offering luncheon. Please contact PD Self to volunteer or find out more information. Our church is in looking for someone that we call the key holder or something like that. We need somebody to stick around on Sundays afterwards just to make sure that everything gets locked up. So if anybody would like to do that, they would just need to talk to somebody on the Buildings and Grounds Committee. The beautiful flowers in our sanctuary this morning are in memory of Mr. and Mrs. John L. Jackson and Mr. and Mrs. J.R. Thompson by Joe and Carol Thompson. So we thank them, the family, for the flowers. Are there any other announcements that we need to bring before the congregation before we get started? That being the case, let us open our hearts and minds to the worship of our Lord Jesus Christ.
O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
You have set your glory above the heavens.
When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place.
What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?
O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Join me now in prayer. Lovely, wonderful, and loving Father, we come to you this hour asking for your blessing and on all the lives that are gathered here. Heavenly Father, we look with great joy forward to the events happening in this particular service as we look forward to an encounter with your word as well as your word sealed in the sacrament of baptism. Heavenly Father, as we gather around Levi, Christopher, Tosi today, we just ask that your spirit be especially present with us in and through the water and in and through the blessing of this young life. Heavenly Father, we pray this day all things in your name. To you be the honor and glory this day and forever. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Join me now, those who are able, by rising and singing with me hymn number 268.
Oh, will in fact cleanse us of all and every unrighteousness. So in humility and in faith, let us join our voices together in a bold declaration of our own sinfulness, using the words this morning of our prayer for confession.
There are times when we talk too much. There are times when we repeat things which we have no right to repeat, or pass on stories which may not be entirely true, or add my own flourish to a tale in the telling. O God, who always listens, forgive us. Keep safe within me all those communications which were entrusted to me for safekeeping. Help me to listen as you do, Lord. Help me to use my ears more than my mouth. With your help, Lord, may I never again hear myself betraying a confidence or reaching a trust. Instead, transform me, Lord, into a listening, trustworthy friend.
Self, there is one that washes us and makes us clean, who renders us as white as snow, as clean as fresh linen. That one is the blood, that one is Jesus Christ, and it's through his blood that we're forgiven, and it's by his grace that we ascend in this life by sanctification and into the eternal and everlasting life in Jesus Christ, which goes on in the kingdom of God. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. As forgiven people, we declare a faith that is ancient, one that traces back in time years gone by. We do so with the confessions of our church, and this morning we confess our Christian faith using the Apostles' Creed, which was in this morning's bulletin. Join me as we affirm our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated and join me in the singing of hymn number 175.
See you.
this point, we'd like to invite the kids come down for a time, especially just for them, led by Miss Hunter this morning.
Well, this morning we're going to have something very special at church. Do you all know what it is? Anybody? We're going to watch little Levi be baptized today, and that's a very special thing in the church. How many of you remember your baptisms? I bet your parents do, and the rest of the church does. But you probably don't remember because you were really little, like little Levi. But in our church, when a child is baptized, we talk about grace a lot. So you're going to hear Pastor Jason talk about grace and baptism. So how many of you can tell me about a time maybe when you did something and it was just really, really bad and your parents, they forgave you for it? They said, it's okay. We know you made a mistake. Yeah, have you ever done something, maybe hit your brother or sister, or maybe not told the truth all the way? Yeah. Yep. And your parents, they just said, you know what, we know you made a mistake, and we forgive you for that. Well, that's called grace. And that's what God teaches us about, is grace. And so today, when we baptize little Levi, we're going to talk, Pastor Jason's going to talk a lot about grace and what that means for him in his life as he grows up in the church. So let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your grace.
Thank you for your grace.
Thank you for helping us as we learn to do the right things. In your name we pray. Amen.
Oh. We come now into a time of reading and proclaiming of the Word, and as always, we begin with a prayer for illumination. Join me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word and just ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, it would move us today. Prepare us, O Lord, for your sacrament of baptism. Prepare us all by reminding us of the grace that you shared with us freely without respect to our worth, without respect to what we had done. Use your Word and its proclamation to do that. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
I will be reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10 through 17, page number 661 in the Pew Bible, if you'd like to read along with me. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also was vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. And what advantage has their owner but to see them with his eyes? Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats little or much, but the full stomach of the rich will not let him sleep. There is a grievous evil that I have seen under the sun. Riches were kept by their owner to his hurt, and those riches were lost in bad venture. And he is a father of a son, but he has nothing in his hand. As he came from his mother's womb, he shall go again, naked as he came, and shall take nothing for his toil, that he may carry away in his hand. This also was a grievous evil. Just as he came, so shall he go. And what gain is there to him who toils for the wind? Moreover, all days he eats in darkness, in much vexation and sickness and anger.
We continue this morning a sermon series that I began a couple of weeks ago. It's called Three Pennies in a Rock, and I'll share the story that kind of inspired the book that I wrote. It happened one day while my kids were in elementary school, and I went to pick up my daughter. She was very excited and jubilant. You could see it. As she got into the car, she declared that she had had the best day ever. Best day ever. And I asked her what it was, and she showed me what was in her hand. What was in her hand were three pennies in a rock. She said, Daddy, today on the playground I found three pennies in the rock. That makes it the best day ever. And I use that as the way to remind us what it's like to be a kid again. Because there are a lot of ways that we'd like to be a kid again. There's some that we wouldn't, admittedly. But children have a natural capacity for faith that's amazing, honestly. When you work with kids, you work with people whose minds haven't been battered and bruised by the whims and the slings and the arrows of this side of hereafter. They are instead poised and ready for faith because they have such big imaginations. We've talked about other things that kids have that we can pick up on and really realize that it's a part of our faith lives as well. We've talked about wonder and how that affects things. We've talked about curiosity. Today we're going to talk about imagination. Very clearly, I think that what we have right now in America is a failure of imagination. It's not working in a really very effective fashion. We think sometimes it is because we see the sparkles and the baubles of technology. But in some very real and important ways, we've kind of stalled. We stalled because we can't have an imagination. You know, I was really fortunate. Before I was a father, I was an uncle. And so I was blessed with a couple of great nephews that I've come to know pretty well through the years, and love them dearly. And I'll never forget the time that one of them came to me at a family event, and he was just overjoyed, and you could just see it. He was spun. He was excited. And he says to me, Uncle Jason, I got some really good news. All right, I like good news. He looks at me and he says, you can be friends with a shark. Now, look, you know, I'm trying to figure out what he's saying. Being friends with a shark doesn't seem like that good an idea, you know, them wanting to eat me and all, right? So that's not a good idea. And I brought that up. You know, I don't want to burst his bubble. I said, well, but, I mean, how are you going to do that? Don't they want to eat you? And he said, yeah, Uncle Jason, you just have to find a friendly shark. Okay. So I asked him the next follow-up question. I said, Taylor, how do you find a friendly shark? He goes, I don't know. I got to figure that one out next. I said, this is a kid that has some imagination. Right? And we did once as well. I'm sure you remember times in your backyard when you had transcended the realm of little child and had instead leaped headlong into the world of gunslinger or firefighter or policeman. You used your imagination. We don't have a lot of it right now. And we'll talk about some reasons why. But first, I want us to hear what the Lord reminds us of. In the Gospel of Matthew, the 18th chapter, I'll read verses 1 through 4. Jesus says, the word says, at the time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You see, our imagination should be fully functioning because our faith should be. And it's our faith in God that opens up enormous possibilities. And yet, there is an alternative to imagination. There is an alternative to faith, and it's probably not fear in the way that you sometimes hear it construed. My sense is that very much the opposite of faith is anxiety. You know, we're in a nation right now that I think on all of our currencies has written very prominently, in God we trust. And that might be the case for a great number of us. But I think it's far more truthful to make the claim that it's in anxiety we live. We have a nationwide anxiety crisis, the likes of which that we've not really ever seen before. The data is all quite there and quite available. Anxiety disorders are up on a factor of 7 to 20%, depending on the age category. The age category, as they go down, the rates of anxiety come up. We shouldn't miss the fact that this generation, the Zoomers and below, are the most now historically separated from a robust American faith. This is the first group of generation that largely didn't grow up in church after World War II. As a result, what we see is the symptoms of a collective anxiety disorder. Just listen to these symptoms as they come up. People that are suffering, communities or nations that are having a problem with it, often feel restless, wound up, or on edge. Does that sound a little familiar? They're much more easily fatigued. Y'all been tired at times? Have difficulty concentrating or blank mind on occasion? I'm seeing some yeses. What about this one? Anybody been a little irritable? More so? Yeah. And then this is the coup de grace, right? Difficulty controlling feelings of fear. Thanks, anxiety. We know that we know have problem with that. We can't escape the worry, both individually and societally. We're raging against the machine, right? We see people on airplanes flip out because they're made to wear a mask for a half hour or two. And we see cities torn to the ground. There's solutions to the problems that vex us. And yet it's very much the failure of our imagination linked to the failure of our faith that we see such the problems go. Take, for example, an experience that I had one time watching Lillian's soccer team. Not the championship squad, right? This was years ago. And she got to play in the first period, but it was a really big team, and they had a lot of kids, and not everybody did. And there were three or four little boys that they didn't need on the field. Well, there was only one coach, so there wasn't a whole lot these boys could do, and they were spun like tops, right? Little boys, they want to go run around and play, and they got to sit on the field. Well, the coach corrals them and convinces them somehow, some way to sit down. And so those little boys sit down and they're not doing much, but you can sense that they're not real happy. Their friends are out there playing a game and they're sitting like they're school kids. That's when one of their other little buddies ran onto the field. He ran onto the field when he wasn't playing and he ran across to them because that's where he was supposed to be sitting. But this kid, you know what? He didn't sit. He came to them and started making the sounds like a superhero. Right? Pow! Punch! Crash! The other little kids, I didn't see their faces, but they leapt up really pretty quickly. You see, the next thing you know, they're monsters or helping superheroes. And on this goes until that little party of four little boys got broken up. They were too loud. Their imagination had taken over the field, so to speak. You know, when I talk about handling problems, we shouldn't miss the fact that anxiety reduces our ability to see options. See, that's where a failure to have faith, a failure to have imagination, it really bites us. Because what we can't do is to reason our way into a whole lot of things. When we use our reason, invariably, it's going to have chinks in that armor. There's a reason for that. There is something superior even to reason, which is a difficult word for somebody that's entirely tries to be logical and rational like myself. There is because there's faith. Faith is the opposite, as I said, maybe to even reason itself. That's the way it's construed. I see them as really two sides of the same coin. It's our faith that enables us to see sometimes the possibilities that exist but that we can't in the moment fathom. That's what imagination does for us. It allows us, like those little boys, to sit in a difficult place and think, I don't like it like this. It's not supposed to be this way. I think I'm going to imagine my way out of it. We think it's a joke, but listen to this. In America, the first flight was done, of course, we know here in North Carolina. But we know also it was done by two brothers, Orville and Wilbur Wright, that they themselves were Ohioan, I believe. Well, that's an important story that can be told. There's a great, I think it's a PBS story on this, the history of flight. You see, they were the dark horse candidates, and nobody knew their name. Everybody in America at the time, though, knew one man's name, Samuel Pierpoint. I didn't write his name down. So somebody can get on Facebook or whatever, Google, and figure that out. Samuel Pierpoint Ellison, I think is his name. Ellison, let's go with that. Ellison was the scholar. He was a known commodity that was ballyhooed in the academy, that upper reaches of academic life. He was the one that was going to do it. He was the one that knew the theory. He was the one that knew the formulas. He was the one that drove his ship into the water. It didn't fly. 7 days later, Orville and Wilbur Wright took to the skies. Now, I wish it was a perfect story to tie up and say, see, they were Christians. And they were. They had been baptized. They were very active in their early days in the Brethren movement of Christianity. But at a certain point, they stopped going to church. But what they never did was they never worked on Sunday, and they never smoked cigarettes, and they never drank alcohol. It looks very much like their faith pattern stayed, whereas their attendance, well, maybe it drifted. But what they would both say is they believed they could do it. They didn't know theory. They didn't know the realm of ideas in the same way. But they knew that flight was possible. Why? Because they had seen God's birds do it. And they had ordered and reasoned minds just like God gave us. And they used that order and that reason, believing and imagining that flight was possible. And they did it. And they beat the academy. They beat the smarty pants. You remember the Wright's name. You don't remember. Heck, I don't remember. And I looked at it 5 minutes ago. Samuel Pierpoint Ellison. Forgotten. Which tells us that imagination is better than reason. It isn't the case that we turn our reason off. It's that we use it to augment and accentuate the God-given imagination that God gave us. Why would we want to trust that imagination? Well, we've got some good ones, I think. First of all, Hebrews defines what faith is for us. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, things left unseen. Meaning, in order to get to faith, we got to use our imaginations. It isn't the case that we can say that there's problems in America. Let's turn it over to the eggheads and the bean counters. Does that work? No, not particularly well. What if it was handed over to Christians? Christians with imagination that was fueled very clearly by Scripture. Just listen at these verses. Matthew 19:26. But Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Luke 1:37, "For nothing will be impossible with God." Mark 10:27, "Jesus looked at them and said, 'With man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God.'" And then Paul writes of this so powerfully in Philippians 4:13 when he says, "I can do all things through God who strengthens me." Not some things, not the easy things, not the low-lying fruit. All things. There's more. Look in your word. What your word tells you is that we worship a God. We are the people of God that can follow his instructions, which tell us to go therefore and baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I commanded you, and lo, I will be with you always until the end of the age. You see, we have baptism, don't we? And we're going to celebrate that baptism here in a second. And the thing is, if you only look at it from an objective standpoint without faith, without imagination, all we're going to do is take a little one-year-old boy and annoy him for a couple of minutes. That's what it'll look like to us. That's maybe even what little Levi is going to feel. But the fact of the matter is when we go to our faith, we return to the Word of God that reminds us that this act is vital and significant in the life of believers. That there is, in fact, something that's being done here. And if you try and imagine it, you'll see it happen. You'll see something, an awareness come, an awareness that is life-changing. You see, what happens here at the font is we simply let the world know what has already been known. That this little boy, this Levi Christopher, he's in fact not just a kid. He's a child of God. He's not just the TOSI's responsibility. He's the Christian church's responsibility as well. And particularly soon, Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church. Obligation. You know, there is an obligatory dimension to baptism that's often overlooked. This is not just a binding with God. This is not just a declaration that Levi's name was called before the foundations of the earth, his name inscribed in the book of life. This confirms that, but it also brings him and Brandon and Ashley into a bigger family. Their own is obviously more than sufficient for a lot of things. But to make it in this time and in this place, well, you need more. And a strong backbone of faith is exactly what raising a child, heck, what dealing with supply chain issues is required right now, is a whole lot of faith. Because you've got to be able to imagine that there is a day coming when things get sorted out at the ports. You got to imagine there's a day coming when we can go to our grocery stores and the pork aisle will be lined like a gleaming treasure. That day is not today, unfortunately. But I can see it. Can you? The Bible tells us there is a coming day. There's a coming day, friends, in which there will be no more sickness, no more death, no more war, and no more tears. That we will live with one another as closely as we do with the people in our family that we actually want to get together with on Thanksgiving. I know that's not everyone. The fact is that what we see and imagine here about that place, that kingdom, is exactly what God wants us doing now. If we can see a place in which there is no dearth, no shortfall, no hunger, then we know, just like the Wrights did, that we can make it happen. Why? Because we can imagine it, and we can imagine because we have faith in our Lord. I can imagine a day in which illness is mostly eradicated. I can imagine it because the Word tells me it's coming. And if it's coming, then the church should be engaged in the process of making it reality. You see, we've got a big and awesome and wondrous mission because we've got a big and awesome and wonderful God. But what happens, happens because of what happens here. What begins at the font is a lifelong claim on your life. God issued it. You live up to it by the power of His Holy Spirit. You come before God with the knowledge that you are saved because of His grace, and it's His grace that was made known to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Friends, I gather Taylor, at some point as he grew up, stopped looking for a way to find a friendly shark. I don't hear him talking about that much anymore. But I'm telling you what, little Levi and the things he's going to imagine and the things that are going to be done in God's name, man, I'm looking forward to seeing those happen because those will be real. Friends, I make all these statements in and through the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and make them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We come now into the wonderful time of baptism. So I'd like to invite y'all to come up along with your sponsors and anybody you'd like. Yeah, good. Yeah, but who are all these people, right? She want to come up here? Yeah, come on. Yeah, we'll do it. Look, she knows where the action is, right? Hear the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always until the end of the age. Obeying the word of our Lord Jesus Christ and being confident in His promises, we baptize those whom God has called. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in the sacrament of baptism, we share in the death and resurrection of Christ and are incorporated into the Holy Church. Baptism proclaims the faith of the church. By the sign of water, God cleanses from sin, renews life, and prefigures the reconciliation of all things promised in Christ. In baptism, we are given the Holy Spirit as a pledge of this reconciliation. The same Spirit binds us to each other and joins us to Christ's ministry of love, peace, and justice. Let us now remember with joy our own baptism as we celebrate this sacrament.
On behalf of the session, I present Levi Christopher Tachi, son of Brayton and Ashley Tachi, to receive the sacrament of baptism.
Okay, Ashley and Brandon, having heard what baptism is, please respond to the following questions. Do you affirm your faith in Jesus as Christ, your Savior, and Lord? Do you?
We do.
Do you claim God's promises for Levi, looking in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ for his salvation as you do for your own? Do you?
We do.
Do you now promise with the assurance of God's grace that you will show by example to him the new life in Christ? Do you?
We do.
In union with the whole church, will you commit to share in prayer, teaching, and fellowship with Levi to help him accept God's grace, profess his faith, and lead a Christian life? Will you?
We will.
I have one question. These are our sponsors. This is Brandon's sister and Ashley's brother. They'll be serving as the sponsors. Sponsors are much like in a Roman Catholic church, the God's parents. And so we'll ask you if you're willing also now to make sure that Levi is brought up in the faith. So we ask you, do you promise through prayer and by example to support and encourage Levi to be a faithful Christian? Do you? Awesome.
Congregation also have responsibilities. So I'll ask the congregation the following questions. Do you, as Christ's body, the church, affirm your faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord? If so, please say, I do. With God's help, will you proclaim the good news of salvation to Levi and surround him with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in the service to others? Will you join with his parents to pray for him and share in fellowship with him so that he may become a true disciple who will follow Jesus' way, truth, and life? If so, please stand if you're able.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, pour out your Spirit upon us and upon this water, O God, to deliver us from death to life, from bondage to freedom, from sin to right living. Bring us together in the household of faith that Jesus may be praised, honored, and glorified by who we are and what we do. Amen. All right. Here we go. All right. Is it okay if I take him for a little victory lap?
Yeah, sure.
All right. All right. Levi Christopher Tosi, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Levi, you are now a child of the covenant, shown and known to be loved by God, and your life held securely by His forevermore. It's a big responsibility. I think he's just having a moment. He's been so good. I think the water. Well, maybe a trip. I think he won. I think he knows who he wants. Well, there you go. See, you just needed the right one. Please be seated. It's great joy to bring children into the church. You know, the data is all there. The data that says that as you bring a child up in faith, everything good statistically moves forward. Better grades, less trouble. But most importantly, one of the things is this identity that we have, that we get right here at the font. You see, I have no idea what Levi's going to be great at, but I have no doubt he'll be great at a number of things. But a day will come when, if he's great at soccer, that a coach will have to cut him from the team. But the thing is, what he'll know always, growing up in faith, is that was never the fullness of his identity. His identity is found in Jesus Christ, so he'll be able to handle the ups and downs of life with the assurance of God traveling before him. As our job as the church now is to support you in supporting his faith. And so we look forward in the years to come to knowing how we can be of service and of help to grow your faith as well. This is a great and wonderful occasion. The sacrament of baptism is when we find the word sealed in ourselves, just as it has now been eternally sealed for little Levi. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just overflow with joy today at this baptism, Heavenly Father. We pray that in the days and weeks and months to come that you'd continue to fill Levi with your promises, with your hope, and most especially, O Lord, encourage and ignite his imagination. Allow him to see the world with the very mind of Jesus Christ, where there's no death or dearth or sickness or shortfall. Heavenly Father, allow his gifts to be used fully in pursuit of your holy and wonderful mission so that all would know your loving Savior. Gracious God, we pray for Brandon and Ashley in the years to come as they manage these children. Oh, Lord, give them strength, give them resolution. And most importantly, Heavenly Father, continue to support them with that love between the two of them. By the power of your Holy Spirit, knit them into an impenetrable force that can withstand the battery of teenage years and sending them off to college. Be with this family entirely, allowing them to feel your faith, your nearness, and your presence. We thank you for all that have gathered today, and remind us all, Heavenly Father, of that great day that's yet to come when the trumpet sounds and your kingdom arrives. We make these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of that coming day, and we make them all concluding with the Lord's Prayer, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Welcome. Thank you. When I head out, if you'll come out with me. Thank you. We come now into a time of prayer as we reach up to God and ask for his blessings to be upon this church community, this community, this nation, this state, this world. Let us seek out the Lord now in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this wonderful Sunday in which you've gathered us around your font to remind us yet again of your claim on our lives. Heavenly Father, that claim is good and a righteous one. And so we, as a fulfillment of our side, come back to you, bringing those thoughts and prayers and people whose present condition concern us. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would care for this whole congregation as we continue to move forward. Heavenly Father, we pray for your blessings on this community and this state. Just asking that you continue to eradicate COVID in any means and way possible so that a normalcy of life might resume yet again. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the first responders, for all the doctors and nurses that are there on the front line. We pray that you would keep them safe. So too do we pray for all of our sick or grieving or lonely or anxious, Heavenly Father. Be for us all that necessary peace that comes like a river into our soul. Heavenly Father, we pray for individuals of this church that we know are enduring difficulty. And so we pray for Max's love and his family as he continues to mourn the passing of his mother. We pray for David Myers as he recovers from surgery. We pray for Jack McClure. We pray for Tom McClure. We pray for Jill Griffin. We pray for Dennis and Debbie Abernathy. We pray for Pauline Harper. We pray for Annie Lucky. We pray for Corky McClure. Heavenly Father, we pray for Victoria and Stephen, the couple that were married yesterday. We just ask that you continue to watch over them in their new life together, that you keep them bound, and if they should have children, to keep those children closely nestled to them and to you, Father God. We make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all now in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who in whom we live and breathe and have our being. Amen. We come now into a time of returning thanks. Having heard the word read and proclaimed, it's our time to remember that God loves a cheerful giver.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God, grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Oh, His grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Praise God from
let us pray. Father God, we thank You for the many blessings that You brought into our lives, just in this one day, but throughout the course of our lives as well. Gracious God, now as we return a portion of those back, we just ask that You bless and sanctify this offering, using it to reach Your goals and Your ends here for this world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we make these prayers. Amen. Please be seated. We come now to the end of our service in which we've heard the word read and proclaimed, and we've had the word sealed in the sacrament of baptism. This represents the fullness of a worship experience, to move from word to the sacrament, and then the next movement is ours. We move ourselves out into the world with the knowledge that we've gained here, that our lives are claimed by Jesus Christ. We know that He is our forever master. He is the sovereign of all creation. We know we have nothing to fear except what we choose. And the only thing we should fear is to be held apart from God, which won't happen, and thus we can be fearless. So let's be fearless as we step out these doors in our proclamation and our desire to make disciples, just like we've begun with little Levi today. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen.
Let's stand together. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm a part of the family of God. Have a great day.